Okay, a picture to show you of Barry Goldwater. Senator Goldwater, of course, the least successful Republican candidate for president in the last 75 years. But this is him at a Senate hearing in 1975. So this is a decade after he ran for president and lost. But as you can see, he is holding up a gun and looking through the sight mounted to the top of the gun in the hearing room. This is not an ordinary gun, though. It is a gun that is rigged to shoot poison darts. It had been rigged up by the CIA in the 1970s, reportedly to be used in assassination attempts. This hearing was part of the Church Committee investigations into what the CIA was actually doing back in the 70s and how much of it was legal. This was right after Watergate, right? And the immediate impetus for creating this committee was to look into whether the CIA was acting improperly here at home, here in the U.S., right? We think of the FBI as the agency that's supposed to be operating inside the U.S. We think of the CIA as operating elsewhere. They're supposed to be spying on our enemies abroad. But that initial focus on whether the CIA was acting improperly at home, that eventually got eclipsed, thanks in part to some off-the-record comments from the post-Nixon Republican president, Gerald Ford, which CBS reported in 1975 as follows. President Ford has reportedly warned associates that if the current investigations go too far, they could uncover several assassinations of foreign officials involving the CIA. Because of those comments from President Ford, the Church Committee ended up changing its focus. They ended up spending a lot of time looking into whether the CIA really was assassinating foreign leaders, or trying to. They, in fact, turned up a ton of lurid details of CIA efforts to kill foreign leaders, including Fidel Castro in Cuba and Patrice Lumumba in the Congo and General René Schneider in Chile.
We have sufficient corroborating evidence to make it clear that the CIA was involved not only in planning, but in certain cases also in attempted assassination.
Before the Church Committee even issued its final report, revelations like those led President Ford to issue this executive order banning the U.S. government, including the CIA, from engaging in assassinations going forward. No employee of the United States government shall engage in or conspire to engage in political assassination. So between the Church Committee expose and the president's direct order on this, the instructions seemed, at least to the layman, to be kind of clear, right? The CIA is an organization for spying in other countries. It is not an organization for killing people in other countries. How's that working out? Mark Mazzetti, the national security correspondent for the New York Times, just today published what aims to be the definitive account of the ways that our government has been killing people since 9/11 without always admitting to it. But because Mark Mazzetti is a real on-the-ground reporter and not just a blowhard like me who pontificates about these things occasionally in print, one of the things that we get from Mark Mazzetti's new account is a ton of new detail that we never had before. And some of that detail has big political implications. Some of it doesn't, and it's just amazing stuff to know. For example, the very first early model Predator drones, and these were drones not just to do surveillance, but to shoot missiles. The very earliest model Predators were equipped with, quote, a haphazard control panel that some pilots likened to the scattered features of a Mr. Potato Head doll. Just one of the significant design flaws was that the button that killed the engine on the drone was located only about a quarter inch from the button that launched the Hellfire missile. Oh, what could possibly go wrong? Also, the first drone strike that the U.S. ever conducted in Pakistan to kill somebody was announced by the Pakistani government as their own military operation. Now, it wasn't their own military operation. It was the CIA who did it with a drone. It was apparent before now that the two governments had lied about who was responsible for actually killing that guy in Pakistan in 2004. It was pretty clear that Pakistan hadn't actually done it, that we had done it. But what was not known until now is that that first ever guy that we killed in Pakistan with a drone strike was not somebody that we were really after. And it wasn't like he was killed by mistake. He was not a senior al-Qaeda figure. He was not somebody that the United States had grand designs on and really desperately wanted to go kill. He was somebody who Pakistan wanted dead for their own reasons. Pakistan was mad at him for their own reasons, but the deal was if the United States killed him, we thought maybe the Pakistani government would let us fly our drones over their country to do stuff that we wanted to do. So that first guy that we killed with a drone in Pakistan in 2004, Mark Mazzetti reports that he was essentially killed as a favor to Pakistan so that they would hook us up and let us kill more people there that we wanted to kill. It's like with a drug dealer, first one's free. Okay, just one more. The first time the U.S. government used a drone to kill somebody outside of a declared war zone, so outside of Afghanistan. We did it in Yemen in 2002. A CIA Predator drone killed this guy, who U.S. officials believed was the mastermind behind the USS Cole bombing. Again, this guy was not killed in Pakistan. He was killed in Yemen. The government in Yemen didn't want it to be known that they were letting the Americans come in to kill people on their soil. So the government in Yemen, when this guy died, came up with this elaborate story about how it was an exploding gas can that killed him. Oh, a terrible domestic accident that killed this unfortunate soul. That was the Yemeni government's cover story. But then Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz went on CNN and started bragging about how this U.S. drone strike in Yemen, the one that Yemen wasn't acknowledging was a drone strike at all, how it had been so gravely successful for the United States. Quote, Yemen's president was furious when he heard about Wolfowitz's comments. His government had been made to look like fools and liars, and he demanded that American spies and diplomats in Yemen appear in his office immediately. Since Washington couldn't keep a secret, he told them, America's hidden war in Yemen would be scaled back. He ordered the Predator flights to stop immediately, and they did for nearly 8 years. Thanks, Paul Wolfowitz. Thanks to Mark Mazzetti's new book, we now know some sort of astonishing details that we never had before. The big story, of course, is that in addition to the wars being fought by the U.S. military over the last decade, the CIA has also become a full-time killing people operation. And a lot of us thought that was something that our government had stopped from happening again. One of the unintended consequences of that shift may be that while the CIA was busy killing thousands of people in places like Pakistan and Yemen once we got back in there, and every place that we've been using our supposed spy agency as a covert new branch of the military, while they were busy doing that, they were also busy missing what was about to happen in Tunisia and Egypt and Libya. Our spy agencies didn't give us any idea that those revolutions were coming. Our spy agencies apparently had a lot to do besides the spying that we need them to do. From the man who broke the story of the CIA destroying its interrogation tapes from the Bush-era torture years, from the man who won a Pulitzer Prize for his reporting on the war in Afghanistan and the war next door in Pakistan and their connection to each other, Mark Mazzetti has now just published The Way of the Knife, The CIA, A Secret Army, and A War at the Ends of the Earth. Mr. Mazzetti, New York Times national security correspondent, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I summarized a lot of things in your book that you put with a lot more careful detail. Did I get anything actually wrong that you feel like I need to be smacked for?
No, it was the story, the book is about the secret wars of the last 12 years and how they've been carried out and some of the deals that have been brokered with foreign governments in order to allow the U.S. to carry out these operations. The idea of the book was to look away from the big wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and examine how these sort of shadow wars have been carried out, first of all, by President Bush, but also embraced and in some ways escalated by President Obama. So the focus is largely on Pakistan, Yemen, parts of Africa. And one of the things that I get into, which you set up very well with the history, is I mean the CIA has this history where they get pushed and pulled in different directions. And it starts out as an espionage service, and then one president or another wants to push them into covert action and paramilitary and assassinations. And then there's this period of the church committee and retributions and retrenchment, and then they're accused of being risk averse, and then 9/11 happens, and then they go back in the other direction. So we've been in this period for a significant 12 years where the agency really has fundamentally changed into this paramilitary organization.
And as an organization, even prior to the CIA being the CIA, even if its organizational predecessors have always done some form of covert action. Mm-hmm. It's always been in the mix, as you say, in this sort of cyclical mix. But we did see such a dramatic swinging back in the other direction with the Church Committee and those other reforms. I can't imagine that happening now, because what the CIA is doing now, what you document in your book, isn't really seen as much of a scandal as anything that led up to the Church Committee hearings was seen as. Can you imagine anything pulling us back as far in the other direction as that committee did?
Well, certainly, if you're looking at just drone strikes, they still have widespread support among Republicans and Democrats in Congress. We're only beginning to see more public scrutiny and beginning to see members of Congress ask for more information about what's happening. John Brennan, the new CIA director, has indicated that he would like to move the agency back in the other direction, move some of the paramilitary activities to the Pentagon, and get the CIA back more into the spying business. We'll see if that really happens. John Brennan, as you know, has been very intimately involved in the drone program for 4 years,
right,
previously as President Obama's counterterrorism advisor. So what I write in the book is that if there is going to be a shift, it will be something that probably takes several years, because you do have, it's a generational thing, you have a generation of CIA officers who came in, who are younger, came in after 9/11, and who have really been socialized in war, and who have been focusing on manhunting and killing as opposed to traditional espionage.
Because John Brennan has been so involved in the killing part of the CIA, or the killing part of counterterrorism operations since 9/11, is it kind of a Nixon goes to China moment by putting him in charge of the CIA right now as a person who's advocating that the CIA give up some of those capacities? Is it possible that he's there because he has the credibility to say, listen, I'm not a softy, I'm not afraid of killing people, I just know we ought to be focusing on spying instead?
Well, he certainly has the president's support, there's no question. He's one of President Obama's closest advisors. So what he does and what he advocates, it will be considered to have the blessing of the White House.
Right.
And there are certainly constituencies in the CIA to want to dial back some of the counterterrorism operations and to go back to the espionage intelligence analysis that they've been doing traditionally, because they realize there's opportunity cost. As you put up in the setup piece, there are real questions about the CIA's performance during the Arab Spring and whether they really were able to provide intelligence to the White House about what was happening as it was happening. And the question was it so focused, did it list so far in one direction that it had not been able to do the sort of traditional spying?
You write in a big picture sense that the changes that you're documenting here have, in your words, lowered the bar for waging war. These weapon systems are unbound by the normal use of rules of accountability during wartime. That kind of shift, if John Brennan is successful, and we assume the president's successful, if it's his aim, and some of these ways of waging war move back cleanly into the military, mm-hmm. and the spying agencies become more cleanly spying agencies, would that help change some of those accountability issues you've identified?
It's possible. I mean, the last few weeks have been stories about, you know, the CIA giving up drones and it all moving to the military. And then there's been some cheering for that, because there will be more accountability. But we should point out that the military does drone operations, for instance, in Yemen, the Special Operations Troop, and they're not exactly transparent.
Right.
We have sometimes a harder time finding out about the military drone strikes in Yemen than we do about the CIA drone strikes. So just because they're in the military doesn't mean there's going to be a government spokesman at the podium every day talking about operations. It's going to be probably country-specific. I believe that it will be less likely that the CIA gives up drone strikes, for instance, in Pakistan for some time, because there are these arrangements with the Pakistani government, and have been since 2004, that the arrangement is that nobody talks about this,
right.
and nobody acknowledges it. It's under a covert action authority for different domestic political reasons. So it will, I think, take some time.
The granular detail you're able to supply to these debates we've all been having so much is really just incredibly invaluable. New York Times national security correspondent Mark Mazzetti, the new book is called The Way of the Knife, The CIA, A Secret Army, and A War at the Ends of the Earth. Congratulations on this. Thank you so much for being here.
I appreciate you having me.
If you have ever wondered why it is that anywhere else in the world a drone strike has to be approved by the White House, but if it's in Pakistan, it doesn't, this will tell you. You should read it. We'll be right back.